Have you ever been in a partnership that went bad? When one partner maybe didn't hold up his end of the bargain? I've read all kinds of statistics on the subject and heard some who speak with seemingly great authority who say that a partnership in business is generally a bad idea. Now that goes in opposition to the fact that you can look around and see a lot of good, apparently successful partnerships. But what they say is, and what you don't see, is that for every successful partnership, there are 1,000 of them that came apart. And everybody wound up in a mess. What many people don't realize is that to some extent, the relationship that we enjoy with God in many ways resembles a partnership. But a partnership where everybody does their part. A good partnership, the kind that succeeds. There are many ways in which our relationship with God is far removed from a partnership, but it comes as a surprise to some folks that we are partners with God in many things. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, the Bible tells us, "And they went out and preached everywhere." This is just after the Lord gave what we call the Great Commission. "They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Another place that mentions the same thing is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, where Paul says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You're God's field. You are God's building." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 mentions the same concept. "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Now, I'm not trying to say that we should feel like God is somehow obligated to us or God owes us. But it is helpful for us to recognize the reciprocal nature of many of the blessings that we receive from God. For example, and we talked about this just very recently, Jesus tells us that if we want to receive the promise of forgiveness, then we've got to be free with forgiveness toward one another. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus says that if we will confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father. Remember, we talked about the little conditional word, if. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul addresses a lack of maturity on the part of that church, and he reproves them for their envy and strife and lack of maturity for their division. We're going to use the first 7 verses of that chapter as our lesson text for this evening. If you have your Bibles, turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 7 in a lesson that I'm calling God Gives the Increase. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you are not yet able to bear it. Nay, not even now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, and are ye not yet carnal, and do ye not walk after the manner of men? For when one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are ye not of men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Ministers through whom you believed, and each of us the Lord gave to him. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." I want us to focus in on the fact that even though, or maybe especially, since we are partners with God in a sense, This passage and this phrase particularly should hold special meaning to us, the fact that God gives the increase. It's interesting that the word in the original language of that text, which is translated increase, is a Greek word which in every case of its use in the New Testament means that which God provides in conjunction with man's efforts to obey. It's not saying that God just gives us things. It's saying that God gives us things in return or in conjunction or in connection with our efforts to be obedient. That sets it apart. It should in our understanding. That gives it a little bit of significance. And so when Paul says, I preached, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, I think it's a safe assumption to arrive at the conclusion that the increase wouldn't be there if it had not been for the planting and the watering. That is kind of the way it works at my house anyway. In my flower beds and in my garden, if I plant and I water, God will make it grow. But you know, I've discovered that if I don't ever get around to making time to planting or watering, for some reason nothing comes up. Nothing grows. You say, well, preacher, you're being foolish about that. It's just that simple that God gives us the increase when we strive to obey His will. The word is used similarly in Colossians 2 and verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. He's talking about the head, Christ, the head of the body, which is the church. He's talking about the importance of holding fast to the head, and the fact that all of the body is nourished and held together by the joints and the ligaments. And remember, over in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul used the illustration of the body to illustrate the church. And so all of these joints and ligaments are parts of the body. And he teaches the same thing again in Ephesians chapter 4. But here in Colossians 2:19, he says the body grows with the increase that is from God. And I think it, again, is safe to conclude that the growth of the body, which comes from God, only takes place when the joints and the ligaments and the body parts work and do their part to hold the body together. That verse is a parallel to Ephesians 2 and verse 21, where Paul says, in whom the whole building, here he uses a structure to illustrate the same point. Here the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. If you backed up a couple of verses in that context, you'd find that this building is actually the household or family of God, which is built on the foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And the family of God thrives only through God's blessings, which come as a result of our efforts to obey his will. God gives the increase. That which God provides in conjunction with our efforts to obey His will. I want to go to four terms that are used in the New Testament in various ways, but I think one of the ways that these words are often used is to illustrate that which we receive from God, or that which God helps us with when we strive to obey Him. Number one, God gives us the increase in dedication. Have you ever felt like you needed to be more dedicated to the cause? What did you do when you felt that way? Did you just sit back and prop your feet up on the desk and say, Lord, make me more dedicated? Well, if that's what you did, you found out that doesn't work, does it? Dedication only comes as a result of our trying harder. But even in things like dedication, God helps us to achieve a strength, a stronger faith, a greater dedication. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus challenges his disciples and us as well with a pretty heavy-duty teaching about the matter of forgiveness. In fact, in this passage, we're reminded again that God forgives us when we forgive others. And maybe this fact is what prompted the disciples to seemingly have so much concern all of a sudden upon hearing that they would need to extend practically unlimited forgiveness to other people. They then proclaimed in verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. Well, it's important that we understand what they were asking for. They were not like the illustration I used a few minutes ago, just propping back and saying, Lord, make us stronger. Jesus, as a response to what they said, told them, if you have faith even as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll do so. Jesus is pointing out it's not so much the fact that you don't have enough faith, it's maybe that you need to start using it more. We need to be more dedicated. And God will bless us in our efforts to become stronger if we will apply hard work seeking His blessings. Every single one of us needs to pray that prayer. Lord, help me to be stronger. Lord, help me to be more faithful. Help me to have greater faith. When it doesn't seem to make sense, or when it maybe even hurts to obey, we need to pray for a stronger trust and a greater tenacity to hang in there. And God has promised to help us, but only if we'll put some effort into it ourselves. Dedication. Number two, we need an increase in disciples, don't we? The early church, working the Lord's plan, saw an increase in their numbers. Great increases. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says something very similar. Then the churches all throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Did you notice that it says there, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. They lived in the fear of the Lord, the respectful, honorary fear, reverencing God and reverencing His will. They were encouraged, they were set on obedience, and the Lord gave the increase. The Lord blessed them to be able to grow. Someone has said that the church today in many places is going one of two places, nowhere or backward. I hope that's not true. I'm afraid it may be true. At least in many places, the church is going either nowhere or backward. I could call to you the names of a number of congregations in the area where I grew up in northwest Alabama, where little congregations, there were, I believe, 13 or 14 in the county where I lived, and it was all out in the country. Now there are only a handful of folks meeting in some of those places. I know for sure the church in many places is shrinking. A lot of folks are moving away. I'm afraid a lot of folks are falling away. The church needs to grow. We need to grow not only in strength, we need to grow in numbers. Is the population of this world growing in numbers? Yes, it is. Then it's good for us to pray and to work toward the fact that the church should grow in numbers. God will give the increase if we will get out there and beat the bushes for the souls. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Number three, we need an increase in devotion. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul expressed this prayer for those brethren. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. The specific sort of devotion that's here in mind is not toward God, but toward both saved and lost people. Paul wanted the Thessalonian church to overflow in their love of one another and of others. You know, that may seem to be an impossible task at times, because the fact is there are some folks who can be just downright unlovable, it seems like. In fact, I've even seen some of my brethren act that way. They may be saying the same thing about me. I hope not. But the fact is, all of us aren't pleasant all of the time, but some people seem to be pretty disagreeable all of the time. You mean we have to love those people too? We have to be devoted in love to people who aren't living right, to people who aren't acting right, to people who don't treat us right, to people who... You know, We could take some lessons from what God shows us. He shows us how to overcome that kind of problem in Romans 5, verse 8, which says, and God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God teaches us that love is a caring and fervent way. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, love one another from a pure heart fervently. That love is a constant debt, as it were, that we need to pay. Romans 13, verse 8, he that loves his neighbor is fulfilling God's law. In fact, love, again, is a command. Jesus says in John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. We need more love. We need more love for the lost. And we need more love for the saved. God will bless us in the efforts that are directed by that kind of sacrificial love. God will give the increase. There's one more and we'll be finished. Number four, we need an increase in discernment. Are you teachable? Most of us would probably say, well, yes. We do fall back a lot on that old saying, you know, the old dog, new tricks, as an excuse for why we don't appear to be very teachable. But when it comes right down to it, even the most stubborn and hard-headed old guy among us can learn how to operate the TV remote, you know. I mean, if you practice and try enough times, you'll finally get it figured out. We're all teachable, aren't we? Some of us act as though we're not teachable. We need to resist the feeling that we already know everything that's anything. We especially need to resist the feeling that we know everything about how to live for God. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning." That's interesting, isn't it? Is it saying that the righteous man, the man who's right with God, the man who's making the efforts to obey the will of God, is the kind of person who will be open and receptive to learning even more and understanding how to do it even better? I think that's what it says. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. You know, the converse is also true in many situations. Try to teach an unrighteous man, and many times he'll let you know right quick that he's not interested in learning anything about righteousness, about serving God. Remember that illustration we looked at this morning from the words of that old song? "I'm not interested in learning about salvation now, and I don't want to be like you." Which category do we fit in? The righteous or the unrighteous? Where are we now concerning our spiritual intelligence, concerning our spiritual learning, compared to where we were this time last year? Most of us, in all honesty, would probably feel pretty good if we thought we hadn't lost any ground from last year. But the fact is, I believe God expects us to grow. Especially in our knowledge of His will. What are you doing to increase your knowledge? Paul prayed in Philippians 1, verse 19, "I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Are we working to learn? God will help us if we will try. You know, we could probably construct a list as long as the highway out there from here to 231 of all of those things that God blesses us with and helps us in if we'll just apply ourselves to following His will. Where are you right now? Your relationship with God, what it should be, and if not, what can you do to make it better? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized. Have your sins washed away. If you've done that but have become unfaithful, come back and rededicate yourself to His service. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.